Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your business? Just right. Only the Metris can haul, stow, and tow more than any other van in its class. It has the maneuverability to get through the toughest jobs and fits in your garage, too. And now with 0% financing, it's built around your budget. Because if you can't picture your son behind the wheel of a monster truck or squeezing your family inside a 2C convertible, we don't blame you. The only thing you need to picture is where the Metris can take your business. The Mercedes-Benz Metris. With 0% financing and starting at $26,570, it's just right. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Metris vans. Qualified commercial customers only. Offer valid through January 2nd, 2020.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's radio.com cash time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
All right, guys, it's 11 o'clock. That means it's time for your 92.9 cash code word. Get out your phones and text the word TEAM, T-E-A-M. Text TEAM to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 from 92.9. Again, the cash code word from 11 until noon is TEAM. Get your phone and text TEAM to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 from 92.9. I'll get you your next cash code word at 12. But right now, it's time for Jason and John.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, cause now I'm getting hot enough to with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Monday, October 14th. And yes, we're all frustrated on this Monday because, yes, the AAC officials, the AAC screwed Memphis football. But we're going to tell you why, John Martin. We're going to tell you why. That if you are a Memphis fan, you should be happy with what AAC basketball coaches did today. A little bit of a Memphis got robbed in Philly theme. Certainly over the weekend and on into today, you've seen the AAC basketball poll come out. Memphis number one, but tied with someone.
Yes.
John Martin, are you surprised?
Well, in fact, that someone being Houston got more first-place votes.
They certainly did.
Than the University of Memphis. So they're tied, but it doesn't really feel like you're tied. It feels like you're kind of being picked behind Houston. I'm
telling you right now, it's going to end up being a good thing.
Yes, it could be. It very well could be. We've got to talk about controversy. We've got to talk about disrespect. We've got to talk about chickens coming home to roost. Mm-hmm. We have a lot to get to on this show today. It is a packed show. We got some news for you, too, that we'll get to a little bit later in the show regarding Memphis basketball in this coming year. So you're not going to want to miss that. We have a lot to get to. Anyway, here's what we have coming up on the show today. You'll recall that 2 months ago, before the season began, mm-hmm. we had on former Miami Dolphins, I believe he was with the Jets too, Jason, general manager Mike Tannenbaum. He was on our show, and we asked him what he thought about the situation in Tennessee with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill, who they obviously traded multiple draft picks to go out and get. Well, this weekend, They entered into the Ryan Tannehill week, and Marcus Mariota was benched, I want to say, in the third quarter for Ryan Tannehill.
It was getting bad. He's missing some basic throws.
Couldn't move the ball. Couldn't move the ball down the field. Couldn't score. And so the Titans finally did bite the bullet. And we'll see if this. I mean, it's hard to imagine Marcus Mariota starting the next game after you make that move in the middle of that one. I guess crazier things have happened. But at any rate, it looks like the Titans are. They've started the process of moving on from Marcus Mariota.
Once he started turning the ball over, which he hadn't done at that point, this is kind of, you know, what you were, well, at least he hadn't turned it over, right? He hadn't won us anything or looked like he wants the job long term, but at least he, and then, you know, he throws the two interceptions. But to your point, John, I don't know. We've said before, and Tannenbaum will tell us that, you know, he thinks Tannehill's a better quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had a chance to see it yesterday because he's getting sacked. Just about as much as Mariota is, ends up 13-16. But anyway, John, I thought at one point that's an upgrade for them at the number two job. We'll see if it ends up. I don't know if he can save them.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us at 11:25, and on July 31st, he told us on this show, I don't pay Marcus Mariota. I think Ryan Tannehill is the better player. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this season he beats Mariota out. Some point this season came yesterday in Denver. And so we will talk to Mike Tannenbaum and congratulate him for being right.
Him. Yeah, that's kind of default thing. Mariota
beat himself.
Bad.
Yeah, yes. Like that. Agreed. But I think his larger point was that Marcus Mariota is going to lose the job at some point.
No,
he's going to be pulled, and that's what happened yesterday.
And that you don't pay him. That was the larger point.
In
you don't
Denver.
Pay Mariota.
Anyway, so he'll join us at 11:25. 12:25. We're going to be joined by a man who was on the call for the greatest screw job in the history of sport. Anish Shroff is going to join us at 12:25. He was on the call for Memphis Temple.
Yeah.
He saw it all unfold, and we will talk to him about how he thought the AAC handled it, what he thought about the video review, the replay, the game, Memphis. He's also going to be on Memphis this weekend as they play Tulane. So
try to rebound against an improved Tulane team that whooped you, obviously. Like.
Anish also tweeted yesterday that he believes that LSU is the best football team in America.
I think he's on to something with that one.
So anyway, but does that mean that they're going to be favored against Alabama? That's what I want to know.
No, it's in Tuscaloosa.
Okay. So, but we still think Alabama's going to win that game?
Man, Joe Burrow looking awfully good.
Yep.
Remember Mr. College Football tell me before the season, hold on there, brother. He's still got to play Florida. He's still got to do this.
Yes.
But we're talking about Joe Burrow for Heisman. Joe Burrow should be locked into the Heisman race right now. I mean, him, Hurts, you know, Fields up at Ohio State. Joe Burrow has been a – Johnny only missed three passes in that game.
Yeah.
Against the Florida defense, we all said, is good. I mean, they lit him up again, John Martin. And right now, if you're – I mean, the happiest man in the state of Louisiana got to be Ed Orgeron. I mean, smiling.
No doubt about it.
Saw him and his family after the game. I mean, they're all – he's a god right now down there,
yes.
I would imagine.
So anyway, we will talk to Anish Shroff at 12:25. And then at 1:25, we will be joined by Jason Fitz. Lots to get to with Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday. He'll join us at 1:25. So, Jason, that is the show today. Yep. And there was a time where Saturday afternoon, I mean, I got to tell you, man, like I was just absolutely – I was blown away by the get back of that Memphis football team. You know, how many times have they been on the mat for an eight count this year, right?
And Navy.
Navy was for sure the most high profile.
Mm-hmm.
But they've shown such resiliency. They've shown such get back. So
they have.
When in the fourth quarter they are driving with an opportunity to take the lead, there is very little doubt in my mind that if it's up to Memphis and they can control it, they're going to win this game. That's just now
what it felt like.
Brady turned the ball over way too much. You have to say that. But I still felt like it was still going to happen. Like, they were still going to find it.
I'm going to tell you why we all felt that way. Because Temple had not obviously not taken full advantage of those Memphis turnovers. And that was the point. Temple's offense really had kept you in the game by not scoring touchdowns on those turnovers. There's no question about it. And so you were that's why we felt that way. We all felt like, man, if Memphis could just get it on track, right? If Brady could just stop, you know, fumbling the ball, throwing the interception, just stop turning it over, they're going to score points because this Temple team is not going to run away from you. John, that's why we felt that way. Is because, again, Temple wasn't and you had, you know, you had Shroff even on the broadcast saying it.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like Temple's taking full advantage of this. All of a sudden, Memphis is back in the ball game like you felt they would be. Never really felt like they were out of it despite the slow start.
Yeah, so anyway, they're driving. They're in Temple territory, and that's when it happens. That is when the play happens. Joey Magnifico, from what it appeared on our end, made a great catch. Brady White is being basically pulled down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, Was it a perfect throw? No, but he was also being dragged down to the ground, you know, so you have to say that. So probably just impressive enough to get it anywhere near the vicinity given the circumstances.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, look, we all wish he had a stronger arm.
Right.
Because then it's not going to come up short, you feel like there.
Right.
I mean, we know that it's not. I mean, his coaches have said it as much. His strength is not his arm. And so there you have, yes, a pass where he's getting pulled down. I mean, he put as much as he could on that thing. You'd wish it was a little bit more.
Yeah.
It had a yard or two more on there. Magnifico's not diving for it. Instead, he does. That's not the point. The point is the throw got there, John
Martin.
It did.
And Joey adjusted, and he made what we thought was the catch.
I think most of us had moved on. I think even
the announcers thought it was a great catch.
On,
I mean, the officials called it a great catch.
They're going to take a quick look at this,
right?
And they're going to confirm it, because that was the key, right? In the AAC, that's where they messed this up immediately afterwards. The call on the field was a catch. And so again, once we saw the replay once, it never looked like, John, well, that's conclusive that it wasn't. You know, that's obvious. It looks like, and then even when you got the second, the mysterious camera angle,
nope,
that apparently,
yep,
comes from only being in an NFL stadium.
No question.
Unfortunate for Memphis, they're playing in Philly. They're at Lincoln Financial, so there's an extra camera because it's an NFL stadium from the Jumbotron. And even with that camera angle, John, I had some Temple fans shooting it at me. Oh, here, this one's you still couldn't tell it,
bro. It's like the Zapruder film. It's like you are zooming in to the point where it's so pixelated and grainy that I can't even tell what I'm looking at anymore. And if you have to do that,
thank you.
If you have to do that,
the picture is blurry.
Right.
I can't see a damn. This thing doesn't confirm anything.
Right.
It doesn't confirm this.
Well, first of all, he controlled the ball as well.
What we clearly know is that the ball moved.
Yes,
and yes, it appears that when his body hits the ground, that the ball moves, yes. But does it, John, was there ever a point where you don't know that his arm's not underneath that ball?
No.
You can't show me.
It was
where
a catch.
Right. You can't show me where that ball hits the ground beforehand, right?
Exactly.
That's what I don't
see. Exactly.
That's what I don't see.
He had the ball before it hit the ground. Now, when it hit the ground, it moved, but he still rolled over and maintained possession of the – listen, I know with Dez Bryant, like – we question every day what is a catch, what is not a catch. Under the letter of the law, I felt like that was a catch.
I'm just – with what we're seeing everywhere on replay, right, the stuff that they won't turn – and it's a different game, and it's a different – but these pass interferences that they're not turning over in the NFL, because the focus is just on replay with all the football we're watching
no
these
doubt.
Days. For you to turn this one over,
yeah,
based on this, on what we saw, which – and again, I'm
– Exactly.
You saw some Temple folks saying, man, we got away with one there. Football, Temple, Scoop, or whatever it was, even them, they, man, I don't know.
Nobody
you know,
said
we
that was the right call.
There.
Not I mean, one person you, said it was the right call.
So again, the point isn't, hey, man, that was the point is that there was not enough evidence to overturn that call. It's supposed to be.
That's the kicker.
That's the key.
It's like because the ruling on, and I feel like this gets lost, and it shouldn't. The ruling on the field, what is it? It was a catch,
yeah,
and it was a first down. So when you go to the monitor, you have got to be able to conclusively prove that that was not the case.
And I can hear the people right now yelling at the radios. But guys, Jay, they turned the ball over four times. You can't put yourself in that position. Guys, they had turned the momentum around. And look, when you are playing against a top 20 defense in the country on the road,
yeah,
you are going to make mistakes. And listen,
some of those were enforced.
Brady White's got to clean it up. There ain't no question about it. You know, that in the offseason was one of the keys with him. Ball, you know, protecting the football,
yep,
valuing and not turning the ball over when it comes to whether it's fumbling it again or throwing the interception. That's the key for him, right? Brady White, you don't have to go out and win games,
yeah,
for us, but you cannot lose them. And so absolutely,
exactly,
each one of those turnovers absolutely buries you, but you are still in position. Partly because of Brady White and the throws he made, Johnny ends up throwing for a career high over 350 yards.
Right.
You were in position to take it, and, John, they took it from you.
No doubt.
They came back in a road win where, yes, they played poorly, made mistakes. You were in position at the end, and you had that taken away from you by this call that says, well, there's enough evidence to overturn that. I'd still say, after watching it over and over, bah, that was garbage. Now, would the AAC say, you know, root against you here, want you to not win? No. I can't imagine they would. You want Memphis to be undefeated. You want Memphis to have the shot with where UCF's taking the step back here now with two losses. You want Memphis to have a shot at a New Year's Six Day Bowl. So a conspiracy theory, oh, it's always, let's get Memphis here. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It was a poor call.
But it was an awfully poor call.
It was a poor call.
To turn that over based on what we saw.
Memphis's season is not over, right? Like, it's not over. I mean, they're 5-1, you know. I mean, just imagine this. I know at some point we probably have to stop saying things like like this, but just imagine 6 years ago, if I'd have told you Memphis football is 5-1 again, that they're picked to win their division again, that they still have a chance to win their division again. You know, so I do think some perspective is always, you know,
but you got jobbed here.
But that is sort of that's the harsh and the hardest part of this is that if Florida loses their game over the weekend, right, to LSU, like whatever, they're in the SEC, they got another chance next week. Like they could still make a great bowl game, and they could, you know, for Memphis, your margin of error is so small, is so thin that if you do get jobbed and you do get screwed like they did, well, now, you know, it relegates you.
Yeah, and look, if Georgia loses. We were just talking about game day.
Talking
about game day, and obviously, and you know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm watching all of game day that morning just to see if they're gonna mention Memphis, right? That's coming on. And Kirk Herbstreit goes. He says, I think they're the one. I think they're the Group of Five representative. I mean, Herbstreit was jumping on, and I know it had been reported, and well, not as far as reported, but some people rumored that game day might be coming. Well, you get just exactly what you need with Georgia losing,
right?
And maybe they still go because it's a great deal, whatever.
Man.
But I highly doubt it, right?
I think game day was coming.
And look, Memphis still had work to do. You'd have to go out and beat a Tulane. You got Tulsa before that one, obviously. But still, to think that opportunity was taken away from you on this.
No doubt.
That it hinged on this because, ladies and gentlemen, it all felt like you've got a good field goal kicker. The momentum had changed. They were moving the ball. And again, that was not enough to turn that ball. Yes, Memphis hurt itself with the four turnovers, but they'd gotten over that hump.
That wasn't, relevant to that moment.
Exactly. On the road against the top 20 defense, you're going to have issues. You're not going to play a clean game.
Right.
But they had done enough to put themselves back in position to win that game, and it was taken from them.
It's not going to make anybody feel better, but I can confirm, and I can tell you with 100% certainty that Memphis was brought up in the most recent game day meeting.
That's why Herbstreit's talking about it. Talking about that might be the one.
I really feel like, you know, we'll see what happens with SMU the rest of the way, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, I really feel like if the stars were going to align and both teams enter that game undefeated, game day's here, and we're partying all week
maybe.
Long.
Because, I mean, what you know now is that the chance was taken away from you.
No question.
Yes, Memphis still had work to do. Yes, SMU, which barely beat Tulsa a couple of weeks ago, had work to do, obviously, to get there. But, I mean, come on.
I also think, too,
it'll always be a what if now because you were robbed. It's just true.
The other part of this, man, that really grinds my gears, as they say, is the lack of accountability by the conference.
Well, they were awful afterwards.
I think the conference has handled this about as even worse probably than the call itself. I think it's been compounded by the response from the conference. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it sounded like they weren't paying any attention.
Were you watching the best game in your league this weekend? Were you watching Georgia, South Carolina too? Like, what were you doing?
That's a good point. I mean, you should have your focus on Memphis at this point. That should be the game that all the
– and Temple, too, for that matter. Absolutely.
I mean, they were 4-1 coming to this one and already knocked off a rank. But you've got them at home, and you've got an undefeated Memphis team that's hoping to have a shot at a New Year's Six Bowl. I mean, a New Year's Six-day game. So give me a break here. Why would you not be all over this? And from the sound of it, John, from the way it was worded, it was like they didn't even watch it.
Yes.
They didn't realize that, no, the call on the field was a catch.
Right.
The first statement
made you think they thought it was
They confirmed that it had been an incomplete pass, that the evidence confirmed it had been incomplete. No, Chuck Sullivan.
Yes.
With all due respect, the call on the field was a catch.
No question.
And you're saying that there was enough evidence to overturn that. So they didn't help themselves one bit.
No.
It made it look like even more of a sham mockery.
That's what it was. That's what it was. You know, listen, of course, Brady can you cannot turn the ball over four times and expect to win games, especially on the road, right? Like, you can't. But the reality of the situation is
they had 492 total yards against a top 20 Temple defense. A Temple defense has been real all year long.
Yep.
A Temple defense that's slow. Look, I know Maryland's not the same team they were at the start. But they were averaging 70 points when they come into that game, and Temple absolutely shuts them down, holds them to 17 points. That's a really good defense you rolled up 500 yards on.
No doubt about it.
I mean, some of that was Brady, and you've got to give him that bit of credit.
Right.
Yes, he's got to clean it up. And John, I'm going to tell you, I said this before the show to you, and I'm going to say it again. Mike Norvell has got to get himself a situation because John, you see, when Brady White is running that ball, he is not. It is potentially disastrous.
Yes,
you
is.
See the option
that
they tried to run with him. And listen, in fairness to Brady, that's just not him.
Right.
Right. But you sort of need, in terms of keeping defenses honest, you want that, and you keep putting him in that position. If I'm Mike Norvell, right? I've got to find something. I don't care if it's a receiver or whatever. Where, John, if you're in a third and one situation or something, I've got somebody back there athletically. I don't care if it's one play, two plays, but something I'm designing, a different look.
Absolutely.
That I can show a defense, right, where they've got to worry about a guy running the ball out of running, throwing, whatever it is.
No doubt.
I've got to find one guy.
Yep.
Right, and master just one or two plays to have that option.
Well, a lot of programs have that. You know?
Most definitely, just a different look.
Like a Taysom Hill.
And exactly. And by this time of the season, usually you've got one, and you've certainly had time to master one of those.
Yep.
But more importantly, because for a Temple team like that,
yep.
that even said it before the game, Anish Shroff saying it, we're about to have him on, that Rod Carey told him, we're going to make Brady White beat. A blind man could have told you that's going to be the game plan.
Yep.
So it would behoove you, it feels like, to me, to some sort of short yardage situation, again, just to keep a defense honest, where you can at least throw a guy out there and be a threat to run. Because Brady running the ball is potentially disastrous for this team.
Well,
he's just not strong enough. He's not athletic enough.
Mike Norvell has done almost everything excellently since he's got to the University of Memphis. Like, I mean, there's no, like, so this is not, we're not calling Mike to the carpet here.
Well, some of the play calls are what got you back in the game.
No doubt, no doubt.
There's a question.
But if you are identifying a shortcoming of his with this program, it is his inability to develop that backup quarterback, because every year you've seen it now. David Moore last year. This year it was McBride. McBride mm-hmm. transfer. You know, for whatever reason, I mean, he's just so committed to Brady White
right.
that in the process, he is losing to, and maybe that's just part of the collateral
right.
damage, but like that is certainly something that has to be fixed and addressed, because that way you're not so pot committed to Brady White if he's not playing well.
Right. I just feel like it would again, in a season where you've got these, you know, you had Cotton Bowl aspirations, quite frankly. You just don't want to be a situation where, look, they don't fear you at all with Brady running the ball.
Yep.
I mean, they don't. So it would, again, just behoove you to have another look when it comes to those situations. Again, they're stacking up the box. I mean, and it's a credit to, my gosh, to Gainwell, what he's getting done. Johnny goes over 100 rushing for a minute, over 100 receiving. I don't know if he finished with over the 100 receiving because of the catch.
I think he did.
I thought on the ESPN stat they had him 98. I don't know if he lost some in the net.
Yeah,
but he had become the first Memphis player to catch four and rush for 100 yards.
And the first time this season in college football.
And to that point, they're keying on him. Right,
yeah,
because
no doubt.
Again, they want Brady White to beat him, and I would tell you that I thought it was highly impressive to roll up a 500 yard burger there on a Temple defense that's really good. Again, the four turnovers kill you; they absolutely do. But Memphis had put itself in position to come back and win that game on the road. And John, I don't care how they look when you get them on the road; you get the win. It doesn't matter how they look;
yep.
it's a W. And so, yes, to have that taken away from you with what we all felt like was certainly not enough evidence to overturn that call on the field.
No doubt.
It sucks because you had an opportunity you felt like to go to the Cotton Bowl.
Golf Digest called it the greatest screw job ever.
I appreciated them coming in. I don't think he writes it. He didn't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
He's just watching it from, you know, an objective viewpoint.
Yep, no doubt.
And said Memphis got screwed.
Yeah. So.
And I think it's pretty obvious they did.
That one stings.
It does.
That one stings. And it's going to take a while to get over. I mean, there's no doubt.
Because you're right about, I mean, the AAC championship hopes are still there.
Yes.
Right? But do any of us believe with Boise State and the schedule they got the rest of the way that
right.
Memphis is really going to get the shot it deserves?
I mean, that's the
group of five.
Is now you don't control your own destiny, and now you kind of, you know, even to, you just need a lot of help.
And that came down, John, to some zebras.
It did. It did.
Saying, I see enough here to overturn this. We didn't.
Yeah.
And I think if Temple fans are being honest with themselves, they tell you the same thing.
I think that is true. All right, we will come back, switch gears a little bit. We're going to get into the preseason polls at the American a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us. We will talk some NFL with him. It was a massive NFL weekend. The Titans switch quarterbacks. The Cowboys lose to the Jets.
Mm.
The 49ers remain undefeated.
They look good.
I got to raise my hand on the 49ers. Now, I still do think something's wrong with the Rams. We've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, girly.
I mean, and golf, too. Golf is a problem. Like,
was yesterday.
They gave him a lot of money to
49ers,
throw for.
That's a good defense
40
over there.
Yards. But that's true, too. So we will come back. Mike Tannenbaum on the other side. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
It's hot outside, but there is something that's hotter than the temperatures these days, and you guessed it. It's the deals at James Davis. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. But you need to understand, they have so much more than suits. They have 5 pocket pants in every fabric and fit. And good news, the brand new Stant Custom Fit fabrics for fall have arrived. I know you've heard me talk about these Stant Custom Fit dress shirts. research before, but it's worth repeating. You get three measurements, take it at James Davis, and 10 minutes later, you're going to have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in just 9 days. They start at only $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get Stant custom fit shirts, you'll never buy off the rack again. Paul Bettany suits are still two for only $7.95 at James Davis. So if you got a wedding party, don't rent tuxedos. That's a waste. Get suits for your groomsmen, suits that fit perfectly and can be used again. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis, Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
You always test the water, don't you? Whenever you get into the shower or the bathtub, you always make sure the water is not too hot so you don't get burnt. And the same thing is true if you're thinking of selling your home. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Marks Bensdorf Realtors, celebrating 150 years in business. Back to the hot water. When you or someone you know is thinking of selling, make sure and test the water. Talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out not only what they think about your house and the price, but what they will do for you. And make sure that I am one of them. I have an award-winning, highly successful strategic marketing program with a Shell Bucks option that can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. You can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Find out why people often say that when you want the job done, call Shell Done. Between the internet marketing, our nationwide relocation business, and the Shell Bucks, you definitely need to call me at Shell Done Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now and don't get burnt.
The Hack is back with today's perks deal. Discounted tickets to the Haunted Web of Horrors. Experience all 5 terrifying haunts in one location. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wayne Group, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mike Tannenbaum is an NFL analyst for ESPN, former NFL general manager, and he joins us now. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
So the last time we had you on, it's actually great timing. The last time we had you on, we asked you about the Tennessee Titans quarterback situation. We asked you what you thought about Marcus Mariota, would you pay him, and just your general assessment. And you said, almost prophetically, you said you would not pay Marcus Mariota and that you thought that at some point during the season he would be beat out by Ryan Tannehill. So I imagine that yesterday's news of Mariota being benched did not come as much as a surprise to you.
If I could only read the stock market just as accurately.
I know.
We'd be all again, I think Marcus Mariota is a smart, tough player at the end of the day. I just didn't think he had the consistent arm strength or accuracy to be a sustainable winner. And I've been with Ryan Tannehill. I saw firsthand that he had taken us to the playoffs in 2016 and just thought he had a higher ceiling.
Can he save their season, Mike? I mean, from what you've seen from that offensive line, too, I don't know that he got enough time yesterday. Can he do that with what you see? Their defense, Mike, is legit.
It is. Offensive line had been a strength of that team for a number of years. It's certainly struggling now. With that said, in fairness, on the road in Denver against Vic Fangio and that front, you know, a lot of teams are going to struggle.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So, and Ryan, you know, certainly has the ability to make plays with his feet, as does Marcus. But I do think he has a chance to give him a shot in the arm because he has really good arm strength, and that should give that whole offense more spacing because the depth of the safeties, they're going to have to play further back because Ryan can attack you down the field.
We, of course, talking to Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, now an NFL analyst for ESPN. So I guess with Marcus, what do you think the future is for him? Because, I mean, we're talking about the number 2 pick in the draft here. Where does he go from here? I mean, is there any way he starts next week? I mean, what sort of is the roadmap for him?
Yeah, and I would tell you that I have typically been, criticized in the past for being, too patient. I always feel like with young players, you give them a chance to get better. You can look at somebody like Deshaun Watson, who's taking a big step this year, and it may just be a change of scenery for him. Just from a standpoint, he's been with a number of coaches, number of head coaches. He's been given more than a fair opportunity, and it may just be time for a change. And if I was Tennessee, I would be actively looking for, maybe not just Tannehill short-term, but, is there better options for them as an organization?
Can the Panthers keep this up, do you think, Mike, with Kyle Allen? And what do you do with Cam Newton, who, right, you can make, he's got 2 years left, but you could make a move after the season where it doesn't cost you much, right? What would you do in this situation?
Well, it's, you know, a great problem to have, you know, in terms of, you know, Kyle Allen hasn't lost a game, hasn't thrown an interception. I think on the immediate level, guys, it buys you time. You know, a foot injury for a quarterback is tough. They, especially the way Cam plays, it's you want to have as much mobility as possible. So I would give him as much time to get ready. That'll be a tough question for Coach Rivera. But in the meantime, hey, let's keep winning with what we have in Kyle Allen. And one thing we've seen this year, guys, is, look, Delvin Hodges beat Phillip Rivers last night.
That's
the quarterback situation around the league has just been incredible.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It was an interesting day for the quarterbacks in that draft because the number one and number two picks could be going out together. I don't know what the future for Jameis Winston is in Tampa Bay, but the guy had 5-6 turnovers yesterday. I mean, it just doesn't look like he is long for this league. What do you think the future holds for him, and you know, what do you do with that situation?
Yeah, likewise. I was disappointed. You know, first pass game to have an interception. Bruce Arians came in to make him better. You know, he threw another, what, 5 interceptions yesterday. So his window could be closing as well. And I think his ceiling is probably a little bit higher than Mariota's from a standpoint as he has great arm strength. But that his turnovers are just – it's a fatal flaw.
Yeah.
At this point, if I'm Tampa Bay, you know, I may move on.
Well, you know, it's funny because you're watching Jameis, and he's always had a turnover problem. That's always sort of whether it's been fumbling, whether it's been the picks, and you're sort of seeing it. It's almost like he's overcorrecting because now he's so worried about taking risks and throwing interceptions that he's holding on to the ball too long now, which leads to more fumbles and, of course, more sacks. So it's like, where do you even start there? Because he's trying to do the right thing by not throwing interceptions and gambling, but that also leads to more sacks, which also hurts your team. So what can you even do there?
Yeah, I think it's best coaches I've been around. So, hey, let's make progress. Let's just put a couple of first downs together. Let's get you in rhythm. Let's make progress. And we're not going to try to change overnight, but we got good defense. We got a couple of young, talented runners. You don't have to win the game. We just got to make you have – let's make progress, and we'll just try to stack one good day on top of the next.
Mike, are the Niners that good, or are the Rams just that dysfunctional right now?
Yeah, I would have to give that a grade of incomplete. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo only has 14 career starts.
Mm-hmm.
That front seven's very good. But if I was drafting the quarterbacks in the NFC, you know, I'm starting with people like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz. I'm not sure if Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the 6 best quarterbacks in that conference.
Yeah.
But, boy, that defense is really good.
If you are staying in that conference, is Russell Wilson your MVP right now?
Yeah, certainly can make that argument. You know, went on the road. They haven't lost on the road yet. He's playing at a really high level. The thing that's amazing to me is his lower body flexibility. I think it's excellent. He avoids injuries. He avoids contacts. And to have longevity, you have to be able to do that. And he's playing at a really high level.
We are, of course, talking to the great Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, now an NFL analyst for ESPN. The New York Jets get their first win of the season against the Dallas Cowboys, who fall to .500. Jason Garrett, like, is he going to last? I mean, I feel like we asked it. Obviously, this is like it's like Christmas every year we ask this. But I mean, how does he continue to last given sort of the underwhelmingness of the offense and what they're doing out there?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, it's so funny how this league turns, right? A couple of weeks ago, he was coach of the year, getting an extension. They were undefeated, and now you know it's taking a turn. Look, they have a huge game next week against Philadelphia. They win that game, it turns their whole year around. So. You know, Kellen Moore is a good young up-and-coming coordinator. Rod Marinelli, Chris Frischotta on defense. If I was them, I would keep status quo, and you still have a very good chance to win the division. Like I said, you have a huge game, you know, next weekend against Philadelphia.
Mike, I got to ask you: Are the Dolphins going to win? Are they going to win a game this year? And what do you think of that whole situation? Got to ask you.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at Coach Flores; he's certainly trying to win the game.
He tried.
He's a rookie. Try to go for the 2-point play, which made a lot of sense to me. I understood that. You're 2 yards away from getting your first win. Mm-hmm. And the players and the coaches are going to keep working hard, and they were competitive yesterday. And obviously they have what they think is the right long-term strategy. And, you know, what's even interesting, you know, you spin this story forward and everyone's talking about, you know, Tua, but, mm-hmm. you know, we may be talking about Joe Burrow by the time we get to,
right.
you know, February, March. I mean, he's played exceptionally well.
He has.
You're exactly right. I don't want to ask what's wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs, but I, like, what's going on? It feels like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are they shouldn't be losing home games to the Texans. Like, I just feel like that shouldn't be happening. What's your assessment of the Chiefs? Is there any concern for you at all, Mike?
Yes, you know, there's a great axiom in football, which is once your opponent sees your weakness, they're going to rip your heart out with it. And back-to-back weeks, the Colts, and now yesterday with the Texans, they held the ball. They used to have the ball for over 39 minutes. Deshaun Watson completed 28 passes of 10 yards or less. They just played keep away. And unless Kansas City can do something about that defense, it's going to be a fatal flaw. If I was Andy Reid, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, I would probably adjust that offense a little bit and make sure that I was a little bit more balanced, because that defense is really bad.
A bigger disappointment so far, the biggest, is it Cleveland? Is it San Diego? Mike, for you, who is it?
Yeah, probably Cleveland, just from a standpoint. You know, they brought in so many, you know, high-profile players, and I thought they would struggle with their tackles and Greg Robinson and Chris Hubbard, but, you know, they got to win those home games. And their season's not over because no one's running away with the AFC North,
right.
But they have dug themselves a hole, guys.
Yeah, they have. We mentioned the Dolphins. The other winless team that got off the schneid yesterday was the Washington Redskins. What does it say about Dwayne Haskins that they just – they not only do they not want to go – it almost seems like they're allergic to him right now. Like, they don't want him anywhere near the game right now. What does that say about Dwayne and just his level of readiness?
Yeah, you know, you got to understand, you know, he's a young player. He had 14 starts at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. When they drafted him, it was a long-term plan, and I think they got to stay the course. I think there's a difference between someone like Daniel Jones, who was a three-year starter at Duke. Clearly, to me, Daniel Jones may have the higher floor, but Haskins probably has the higher ceiling. He has great ability. I think they just got to remain patient and understand that this is going to be a process. But there's ways you could get a player better. You could hold them accountable at practice. You could hold them accountable in the meetings. And hopefully he's showing progress behind the scenes.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, man, this was awesome.
Thank
we appreciate
this,
the time, as always.
All right, guys, really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
He is Mike Tannenbaum, NFL analyst for ESP. And how about that? Yeah, those two. I mean, we were talking about it. Those two, the top two draft picks. You know, what was that? 2013, I guess it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going out the same year together. You know, like that's kind of crazy because they, you know, obviously like they're always going to be joined at the hip, right? Because they're the number one and number two picks. 2015 draft was what it was.
There's just when you see Mariota missing some basic ones, right? And the receivers just dropping their heads. You just wonder what. Where's it gone? Because we've seen you at a higher level, right? He's always been, you know, for the most part, just doesn't turn the ball over. He did that on Sunday, and that's sort of why it was like finally Vrabel's just like, I got to try Tannehill now because, you know, the one thing was you weren't turning it over. Well, now you got two picks. I got to try to score some points. I got a defense that allowed 20 points all season long, and we're still losing. I just don't know. Do you give Vrabel the credit for the defense, which is clearly one of the best in the league, or you give him, you know, this inability to get points on the board to make the adjustment? At this point, I think, John, at 2-4, you know, even with a good defense, even with some decent weapons, they may already be out of it, especially if you cannot protect, no matter, you know, whether it's Tannehill, Mariota. They could not protect either one yesterday.
No doubt about it. All right, we have so much to get to. We need to talk about the preseason polls. We need to talk about freshman of the year picks. We need to talk about first, second teams, and also some news on Memphis basketball. We got a lot coming for you. Don't go anywhere. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome to More Than Enough Reason with Geico. You're at an amusement park on the first hill of the biggest roller coaster in the state.
Oh, boy.
Your fear of heights was more than enough reason to never get on in the first place.
Acrophobia, schmacrophobia, that's what I say.
You've also got more than enough reason to switch to Geico, because not only could Geico save you hundreds, but they're also the second largest insurer in the country. Now that's a track record you can trust.
Wow, I can see my house from here.
And since Geico is available 24/7, it's no wonder customers have the faith to give them a 97% customer satisfaction rating, which is more faith than you have going into that second loop.
Eyes on the horizon! Eyes on the horizon!
So, as you notice you've been tensing muscles you never knew you even had, you can at least relax knowing Geico is always there for you online or over the phone. Now, if you could only get off this ride.
Okay, need a little help. Think I might have pulled something. Okay.
Geico. More reasons than ever to switch today.
Discount travel sites say they have the best prices, but Hilton.com has the price match guarantee. Look me in the eye. If you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off. Yeah, well, this is radio, so just stare at the radio. Hilton.com has the best prices. Pinky swear. Or, you know, radio swear. Plus, you can choose your exact room and get free Wi-Fi. Cross my heart, stick a needle in my radio. Expect better. Expect Hilton.
Must be a Hilton Honors member. Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com. Pinky swear.
Make refreshing changes throughout your home this fall and save by starting with Lowe's. Add new appliances and get deals like up to 35% off select appliance special values, including a 24.7 cubic foot Whirlpool French door refrigerator, just $15.99. Show your home's true colors with a new coat of paint. Save on top-rated one-coat paints from HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, starting at just $35.98 a gallon every day. Whatever projects you have on your to-do list, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Appliance offer valid through 10/23, U.S. only.
Christian Brothers University is committed to preparing graduates to address complex problems and deliver innovative solutions on the job. We offer flexible degrees and graduate certificates that work for you. Interested in getting an MBA or master's degree in education? Maybe you're considering advancing your career with a grad certificate in engineering management or data analytics, or maybe our physician's assistant program has your interest. Get details by attending CBU's upcoming graduate information session. Register online at cbu.edu/graduate. That's cbu.edu/graduate.
Going to a big football game? Walking around all day? Then you'll want comfortable shoes. Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Score a touchdown with a new pair of ultra-comfortable running or walking shoes from the New Balance Memphis store. At the New Balance Memphis store, we are the champions when it comes to getting you exactly the right shoes for your needs. Are you into walking or perhaps running? Whatever your style, we'll make sure you get the right shoes with the perfect fit. It's like having a personal trainer for your feet. Come into the New Balance Memphis store and give us a chance to earn your business. We've got the most sizes, the largest selection of widths, and the inspiration to get you moving. We'll make sure you have the perfect fit, and we'll treat you like the starting QB. Our job is to make sure your feet are happy. Visit the New Balance Memphis store, located in the Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway, behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis. Your feet will thank you.
Hewlett and Dunn, nestled on Old Town Square in Collierville, has 4,000 square feet of the largest boot selection in 200 miles. International boot legends Luke Casey, Double H, Red Wing, Ariat, Justin, and Tony Lama. Hewlett and Dunn has rubber hunting boots by Dryshod and recently has expanded the selection of safety work boots. Filson Hunting Gear, biggest selection in three states, and now carrying Duckhead. Western wear, hunting attire, jeans, belts, hats, and more at 111 North Center Street, Collierville on Old Town Square. You need to stop by Hewlett and Dunn, you bet your boots.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the only place to get World Championship Barbecue in the Memphis area is at Memphis Barbecue Company, which is owned by Melissa Cookston, the 8-time world champion, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. It's great for lunch or dinner, and if you need catering, they can handle that too. Just order online at memphisbbqco.com. Melissa is so respected, she's been invited to cook at the James Beard House in NYC on November 2nd. That's one of the most prestigious honors a chef can receive, so if you're looking for great barbecue, you know where to go. Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Workplace injury, dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Wing Guru, head on over, it's lunchtime. Get yourself some of the best wings this world's ever seen. They're done by Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball player. Now he's a mad scientist responsible for creating the best wing with the best premium flavors. Party whole, boneless, however you like your wings, he's got them like that. He's going to give them to you with the best premium flavors in your face.
There is no debate. They are the best chicken wings in Memphis. Really, there hasn't been a debate since Billy came on the scene several years ago. What makes them the best, you ask? Well, those premium flavors, the garlic sriracha, the honey suicide, the spice taco, 901, Nashville hot, you name it. That's why the Wing Guru is the undisputed champion of chicken in Memphis.
5699 Mount Moriah or 7199 Stage Road for those of you on the Bartlett Raleigh side of town. Pretty soon coming to you, South Haven, very soon. As a matter of fact, then on to Hernando, then on to Dallas, Texas. It's a takeover. Billy going to be taking over the world here in a minute. It's all because of that fantastic chicken Do not forget about his fantastic gourmet burgers as well, though. They'll knock your socks off. Just ask Jeff Calkins or Penny Hardaway. It's all good with the Wing Guru. That's the point. When you see Billy Richmond, please tell him that Jason and John sent you.
All right. So we have a lot to get to here during this particular segment. We got some news and we got some views. Which one would you like to start with, Jason?
You
the news or the views?
You know I like some news.
Okay. Well, we've got 92.9 breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post the job today at Indeed.com/hire. Hope you didn't get too attached to the Memphis basketball court because it is changing. They are editing, or they already actually have edited because that's the best word I can use without trying to be funny. Like, I'm not trying to be funny like everybody else, you know, talking about they circumcised it and, you know, they cut our balls off.
I know where you're going.
Not trying to do that.
I see what you're doing.
But in the wake of a viral reaction for the wrong reasons, you would say, to the unveiling of the court during Memphis Madness for phallic reasons, Memphis has heard those calls. They have heard those, jokes and read those tweets. And so they are changing that particular part of the court. Best way I can put it is, you look at the free throw line, the lane basically is, as we know, blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case anymore. They are changing the top of the key, right? Uh-huh. So from the free throw line and out, that will be the color of the non-blue hardwood.
Okay, I think.
The top.
Did they change the lane or not?
They changed the... They didn't change the lane.
The lane did not get changed. I think the way you said that, it's just the top. It's just the circle. What's
right
above the lane?
Yes, exactly.
Was taken back to the court.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So so whatever you want to call that, the top. I just call it the top of the key. Whatever. It's the top of the key. That's being changed from
half circle above the lane is what they changed.
Correct? Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Like that is I mean, but nobody calls it the half circle above the lane.
Right. But when you say the lane, they've changed the lane. The lane itself hasn't been changed at all, right?
No, the lane is going to like the stripes is, and the blue parts.
What y'all call the veins on
yes,
all the
that
which
will
were
still
the stripes,
remain
that's
exactly
the same.
The only thing that the
they
tip
they fixed this by fixing
the tip.
You tried to avoid that, but you should have just said it by fixing the tip of the half circle
and
taking it back down to just the actual hardwood look.
Yeah. So they did this yesterday. They were working on this yesterday. You have photo evidence of the new court.
Yeah, looking like it's done.
Does it, in your opinion, help?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes away any idea that, you know, you couldn't unsee this. Remember, mm-hmm. that was the thing?
Yes.
And John had to show it to me for me to see it, and it took me a while. But once you do see it, it's hard to unsee, and you saw some people, you know, going kind of crazy with it. But this totally takes away from the, again, they're just changing that tip, as John puts it.
Yes.
Just changing that back to the actual color of the hardwood.
Correct.
Has
the non-blue hardwood.
And it actually looks pretty good.
I think it looks good.
It almost looks like a no-brainer that you would have done it this way in the first place.
No doubt. I mean, I think it's important.
Looks that natural.
When that's, like, you don't want, when you unveil the court, the conversation to be about your free throw lanes or whatever you want to call them. You don't want that to be about looking like penises. You just don't want that to be the conversation. You want the conversation to be, wow, this court looks great. Wow, this court's one of the best in the country. That's not what it was, you know?
Well, I fought it. I just fought it. I said, you guys are silly, but this is clearly an acknowledgement, John, that the thing looked like was phallic.
Well,
The changing of it is clearly an acknowledgement that this thing
or that enough people like or a, enough people said it looked phallic uh-huh. for it to become uh-huh. phallic, and that's really all that matters, right? Perception is reality, you know?
I thought y'all needed to grow up.
Right.
But no, they make the change and it looks fine. It looks natural. And probably it looks like it.
It looks natural.
It looks natural.
It doesn't look enhanced.
No longer looks enhanced.
Why are you doing this, man? You be over here sliding in these buzzwords, you know, during these kinds of segments.
We got more important stuff to get to in this segment about this basketball program than that phallic looking thing that you finally got changed. You should be happy.
The artist formerly known as phallic looking thing.
You and the people got it changed. You should be happy. Congratulations.
I think the fans
it looks good. It's a good move to change.
I think the fans are happy with it.
See, as long as you didn't have to change the lane, it felt like to me that was a lot of work.
Right. The lane will still have the stripes.
Right.
You know, or as some people say, the veins. The veins remain. you know, that will not change, at least according to what I'm being told thus far. But again, as we know, Memphis could change it. Gary Parrish tweets, "This is a smart move by Memphis. I know the jokes were juvenile, but there's no sense in spending an entire season having James Wiseman play on a court with two blue ding-a-lings when those two blue ding-a-lings were going to get clowned during every nationally televised game." Now, I don't think that's true. Well, I mean, maybe he's talking about Twitter. Yeah, Twitter probably would go in on it every nationally televised game.
I mean, when the AAC's looking for something to talk about when, you know, their bad teams are playing Memphis, yeah, you knew it was going to come out.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. Sometimes like, I think it's good to listen. Sometimes I think it's just good, and if it's a majority, right, if it's a majority, and I think it was certainly a majority, it's okay to edit things here and there, modify.
Again, it doesn't change the overall look of the court. That's what I would have
Correct.
Been against,
exactly.
right, is that you've done all this work to put in these tiger stripes, and now you're taking them off.
Yeah.
They haven't changed the lanes at all. It's just the actual half circles above the lanes.
Exactly.
The tips, as John would put it.
All's well that ends well indeed.
Is it all well in Philly?
That is the question. And I would say that it is not well in Philly.
Now, is this outrage or is it fake outrage?
Oh, no. I've been pissed off about the national media and their perception of Memphis for months now.
Well, now that in terms of where they're ranked and the Rob Dawsons of the world, that's been
And now that's bleeding over into perception in your conference, because today they're having media day in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and that's when the preseason polls and the player of the years and the first teams and the second teams and all that stuff is released. Well, it was released this morning, and I happened to be up early this morning because my wife's on fall break. And we thought we'd hit the gym early, get our day started very early.
Y'all look doing a little pain workout.
And I should have stayed my ass to sleep because I got some news I didn't want on my phone at 7:30 this morning.
I had a friend told me you'd be outraged by this.
Memphis got fewer first-place votes than Houston in the AAC preseason poll. Fewer votes than Houston, who lost their top two scorers from last year, who I believe lost four starters from last year.
Correct. Got one starter back.
Memphis, on the other hand, bringing in the number one recruiting class, bringing in the number one player in America, mm-hmm. bringing in two projected lottery picks, yet they get fewer votes,
four first place votes for Memphis
than Houston.
And yet, and all that said, they still tie.
They
with
tie.
Overall number.
They
so they're,
tie.
They're co-favorites.
I would
year.
Almost have rather just been second. Like, I would have then be tied for first. Because that way I can say they picked us second. Now I got to say they picked us tied for first with Houston. I mean, I think that selection is weird, you know? Like, I mean, Houston is I know Kelvin Sampson is a good coach, and they're coming off a Sweet 16 appearance, and I know
Correct.
He is a good coach, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But is he that good a coach and Penny that bad a coach that Penny can bring in the number one recruiting class in America? Penny can bring in two NBA players in the lottery and be picked behind first place voting-wise, a coach who is having to replace four or five starters. Is Kelvin Sampson that good and Penny that bad? Because to me, that's what the AAC coaches are telling me. That's what they're telling me.
You sound like me on the call getting overturned.
Sometimes, I mean, democracy is a hell of a thing, you know? Sometimes you shouldn't vote. And that's what I feel like in this case.
Don't you feel like this is the best case scenario, quite frankly? Like, after we get over our, in this case, I guess, genuine rage, John Martin, I can tell you got a little
genuine
vein coming
rage.
Out. You got a vein coming out of your neck.
A blue vein.
I think part of your blonde hair just turned back brown again.
Yeah, oh, it's happening.
Don't you realize this is the best thing could have happened to that team?
Well, you can spin it. I'm listening.
This is not a spin
I'm
thing.
Listening.
Penny already trying to play that they are the hunters, John.
He did right? say that on our show.
Not the hunted. Already trying to play that with his team, right? That sort of underdog mentality that you want to, you know, that's in terms of when you're trying to motivate your team, right? It's useful to use a lot of times because you can motivate guys telling them they're not the favorites, right?
Yep.
Well, in this case, have they not done Penny a favor? The rest of the coaches in this league looking over at Kelvin Sampson and giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
To your point, they got one starter back. Do you realize Houston doesn't have a player back that averaged more points than Tyler Harris last year at 10.8 points per game? Not one.
Not one.
And I know we all love DeJuan Giroux. Don't call him.
No, you love him.
He is not the son of Al Giroux, but he is talented.
He's
you understand
long
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
He was a sixth man of the year last year. He's fantastic. Averaged 8 points last year. Kind of a super utility man for them at 6'5", and that obviously will go up. But, John, they lost their entire backcourt. Basically, we're a three-guard offense,
yep.
and you're giving them that. Again, they don't have a player that averaged more than Tyler Harris last year. Tyler averaged 11 points per game.
No doubt.
I get giving Kelvin Sampson the benefit of the doubt. He's arguably the best coach in the league in terms of proving it. You can make a case for Greg Marshall, pretty darn good one too, I would think. But you're right, John. It reeks of y'all don't have any idea what Memphis has got. You know, you're not giving them much credit. Forget the credit for the guys coming back. You know, in fact, Tyler Harris averaged 11 points for you last year. One point, he's averaging 16 points per game, but Memphis found out, well, the best thing to do is not to have to rely on him. But that said, all of that said, if I'm Penny Hardaway, it's exactly what I want. Because now, in terms of, if I'm the other coaches in that league, and you could tell, John, half the time it's their assistants that send these votes in. The thing I'd want to do, the thing I'd want to see is an overconfident Memphis team. And the reason they be, because they're young.
Right.
Young teams get overconfident. And I would have that thing ranked one, hoping, right, that you catch an overconfident Memphis team that's been picked to win everything, right? These freshmen overplay everything. Hey, everything's going to be so easy. They come out, they have to play the games, and they're overconfident. That's where you want them. But by doing it this way and giving Kelvin Sampson this sort of your first place vote at least.
Right.
Again, they're tied atop, but Houston got more first place votes. You've left this motivated Memphis team. You've left Penny with the ability to go tell those players, hey, man, they're picking Kelvin Sampson over you. You know, and they don't have they lost four starters. And so you've put, if you're those other AAC coaches, I think where you didn't want Memphis is a ticked off Memphis with a ticked off John Martin. Would have been
I'm
smarter
pissed.
For those folks, again, to give Memphis the number one rank in the first place votes. It probably deserves if you're looking down through that roster.
Right.
And again, looking at Houston's, and then from a mental standpoint, maybe they're a little bit overconfident. That's where I'd want them, not a Memphis team that's going to be playing with a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. Play right into Penny's hands as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so James Wiseman was picked as the freshman of the year. Obviously, that's not a surprise. No Precious Achiuwa, though. On either the first or the second team.
James Wiseman's first team.
Yes.
As well.
Not unanimous, which is kind of surprising to me.
Well, again, that feels like old school. I'm not going to vote a freshman first team, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of this feels like.
But no Precious, you know. And I mean, again, top 15 player in the country. How many of those you got walking around the AAC right now, bro? How many of those you got? I mean, first or second? Like, okay, fine, he's on the first team. But second team? You can't put Precious Achiuwa with the number 15 player in the country who's going to get the ball a lot.
South Florida's got two.
I don't give a damn about South Florida.
No, John, it's a point. South Florida shouldn't have two.
Right.
And, you know, this is a clear favorite in the AAC. You can say they're co-favorite, whatever you want to do. But South Florida, and look, I like Yetna. I think he's a talented big guy.
Right.
But they've got a guard on there as well. Like, what's the point of South Florida, which we think, what, best case scenario, maybe you finish fourth or fifth. John, they got two on there.
Absolutely.
No, that's the point. So if you want to look smart, yeah, you can go ahead and pick a couple of kids from Memphis. But, John, you know, typically, again, these aren't even the head coaches sending these in. These are the head coach's assistants or literally like a personal assistant sending it in for them. A lot of times they haven't gone down and looked through. Again, I would tell you, if I'm a Memphis fan, I like this. I like that. You're still getting the respect of being picked co-favorite.
Right.
Let's be real. You haven't been picked fourth here. Then I can understand the sort of outrage. I'd prefer to look at it as, man, you've kind of played into their hands by giving Houston the benefit of the doubt with the first place vote.
So I went and actually did this research before the show, and I was trying to see how often does a team that brings in the number one recruiting class not get picked outright to win their league that year, right?
Most of them are top one or two seeds in the tournament. We've discussed that, so I imagine it's pretty high.
So in 2018, this is all preseason, by the way, Duke had the number one class. They were picked to win.
Of course.
17, Duke, they were picked to win. 16, Duke, they were picked to win. 15, Kentucky, they were picked to win. 14, Duke, they were picked to win. 13, Kentucky, they were picked to win. 2012, Kentucky, they were picked to win.
These are outright winners.
Outright winners.
Okay.
You have to go back to 2011 to find a team with the number one recruiting class that was not picked to win their league outright, and that was Kentucky in 2011, Florida. They had divisions back then, but Florida was the favorite in the league that year.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky did end up winning the league that year. So anyway, that, you know, you got to go back a ways. It's almost like it's hard to – do this exercise in some ways because it's always Duke or Kentucky. You know, like other schools don't have the number one class. Yeah, schools have top five classes, but we're talking about number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not a great precedent for a team like Memphis having the number one recruiting class in the country. So history is not always a great indicator in this case. But they were picked. They were picked as co-favorites, right? So it's hard for me to get too outraged, but I continue to beat the drum that there is going to be a course correction unlike this earth has ever seen on this team. They are going to be crawling. I mean, if Memphis beats Oregon, I don't know if they will. I don't know that they will. Mm-hmm. But if Memphis beats Oregon, it is going to be a feeding frenzy on Memphis. I mean, they're going to go from being 21st in Doster's poll to being 8th or 7th or even better maybe than that. Again, this is not a top 10 class that we were talking about. And if it were, I think my tone would be different. I could understand skepticism about a top 10 class because it's just a top 10 class. This is the best class in America. And I think the skepticism is completely unwarranted.
Yeah. Again, if you'd picked them second or fourth or somewhere like that, and just give it, you know, if it wasn't tied, I could see, you know, being a little ticked off and maybe not looking at the sort of glass half full approach that, man, at least you can still play in the hunter as opposed to the hunted. You can still play that like Penny Hardaway wants to do. I will give Houston this because I'll be real honest. I think last year, you know, despite a couple of people warning us, we looked at Houston and said, well, they don't look all that. You know, because at that point, John, who was the kid they lost the year before? Rob, the high scoring guard.
Rob Gray.
Rob Gray was gone.
Yeah.
And we, you know, whether it was Corey Davis, Galen Robinson,
they overachieved last year. You have to say.
Well, we looked at them and we probably underestimated them as what happened.
I definitely did.
There's no question about it. But listen, I mean, Corey Davis averaged 17 points per game last year. Galen Robinson, yeah, just 8 points, but he led him in assists almost 200 per game. Those were veteran guys. Armani Brooks, we couldn't believe that he was leaving declaring for the draft. Averaged almost 13 and a half points per game for them last year. So it wasn't just you're losing your top two guys. You're losing most of your production, most of what you had come to rely upon. And what have we said about those veteran teams? That was sort of that experienced leadership that you were leaning on. Look, Dejan Giroux is a great player.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.